in the winter of 1968, in one of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's final sermon, he preached from the subject, Unfulfilled Dreams. In that sermon, Dr. King said there will be times in our lives when we dream of doing great things, reaching the highest pinnacle of our careers. We may set out to make differences in the world, and despite our good intentions, our hopes, our desires of our hearts, one of the great agonies of life is that we're constantly trying to finish which cannot be finished. And in so many instances, we find ourselves having to face the fact that many of our dreams may not be fulfilled. And Dr. King lectured and preached to others all over the world about his magnificent dreams. He set out to do the work of redeeming the souls of Americans, the work of freeing black people, white people, rich people, poor people, to become their best, compassionate, and courageous self. He has said such as much when he gave his I Have a Dream speech, yet his life ended by an assassin bullet. His dreams, too, were unfulfilled. As I reflect on Dr. King's sermon, I wonder if my dream of belonging to a multicultural religious community where people, cultural identities are reflected and affirmed in every aspect of church life will ever come to fruition. I didn't realize my dream in the Baptist church that I grew up in, the church where I was baptized and ordained as a minister. And after I left that church, I searched for a religious home where I can fully encounter an inclusive community where people are welcome as blessings. I searched for a religious home that reflected my values and principles, that practiced religious tolerance and encouraged intellectual freedom, and that didn't profess that their beliefs were the only way. So 4 years ago, I became a UU and decided to enter into UU ministry. However, soon after I found my new religious home, I began to wonder if I was in the right place, if I really was at home. My culture wasn't reflected in worship services or in the aesthetics of the church. When I attend district meetings, minister gatherings, leadership classes, and anti-racism conference, there were a lot of discussion about the UU efforts to become a multicultural, multiracial faith. However, it wasn't reflected in the churches where I attended or where I preached. And at these conferences, more times than none, I would be the only person of color in attendance. And at times, to add insult to injury, I would be mistaken for another person of color whose attributes were vastly different from mine. So imagine for a minute. Look at me, 6 feet, about 240, being mistaken for a brother who's about half a foot shorter, 50 pounds lighter, and a full head of hair. And that's a true story. And so after sharing my conversion to UU stories for about the 100th time, there were some people in those conferences who were always asked in wonderment, why did I choose to become a UU? And I would respond, you should ask me, why did I choose to stay? Well, I stay because this is my theological home, but it doesn't mean that I'm fully satisfied with our efforts to become a multicultural faith. Now, I applaud the dedication and devotion that I've seen in some folks working tirelessly to make this faith community to reflect the principles welcoming to all. I have been encouraged by those allies who I've seen talk to talk, walk to walk in the anti-racism and anti-oppression work. And while I would give the Unitarian Universalist Association credit for making multicultural work a true action priority, I'm still frustrated. I'm frustrated when I hear those leaders boast about the huge strides that we made in our anti-racism, multicultural work. But so often on Sunday mornings, I don't see the fruits of our labor. Or when some folks come up and say to me, we tried our best, but people of color just won't come here. So I believe as a religious community, we cannot accept our actions as status quo. We can't rest on our laurels of our so-called successes in our anti-racism and multicultural work. We need to do more, and we must do more. We need to examine what are we doing and make an honest assessment of the methods that we're using. We need to admit that some of the things that we're doing are just not working. We need to ask ourselves, are we making a concerted effort to create opportunity for cross-cultural experiences, or are we merely hoping that people of color will visit our churches and stay? Are we really willing to be in dialogue with churches of color in our community to get out of our comfort zone, to work on justice issues that are important to our community? Or are we going to let theological and denominational differences keep us from making this community a better place? As a denomination, we UUs must ask ourselves, why after 20 years since the UU resolution on racial and cultural diversity, despite our efforts of becoming a truly multiracial, multicultural faith, why are we changing more slowly than society around us, if we are changing at all? And for a Unitarian Universalist to continue to be a viable faith, it would require us to embrace change and overcome our reluctance to be changed. This is not only intellectually sound, but theologically and spiritually important. In order to do the work that is required, we must realize there are no simple answers or quick fixes. It would take more than having an annual anti-racism conference, workshop, and trainings. And we need to face the fact that we may not be in agreement what a multicultural church looks like to the members of WUU as well as the members of our denomination. Now, don't get me wrong. Throughout our history, we have made some progress in our commitment to anti-racism and multicultural work. And we can take pride in our leadership in the civil rights movements, and we have called ministers of color to our parishes. And in recent years, our denomination has successfully elected our first African-American president and Latino-American president. But despite all of our accomplishment, we still are a largely predominantly white denomination, and people of African, Latino, and Asian descent are still largely underrepresented. Now, according to our leaders in Boston, UUs have made wonderful progress over the years in making our denomination a more welcoming, inclusive, and multicultural faith. But when I look out in our congregation, in spite of our well-attended efforts, the progress that we have made seem to be minimal at best. While in some of our congregation, we are satisfied by having a few dark faces in our crowd, and we boast about how diverse we are. And I often wonder, as a denomination, what type of people of color are we really looking for when we talk about making our denomination a more welcoming, inclusive faith? Are we looking for people of color who are shaped by the upper middle class liberal North American values? According to Dr. Mark Morrison Reeves, the reason why we don't have many people of color is the same reason we don't have many working class or poor members. He says that if you look at the average at the UU educational level, 17.2 years, which is almost a master's degree, there are simply not that many people of color in that demographic. But he predicts, as the number of highly educated middle-class people of color increase in the general population, more be drawn to Unitarian Universalism as long as we are welcoming to them. Okay, I buy that. So if we can become more welcoming to the people of color that we are comfortable with, the ones who look like, talk like, dress like, and act like UUs. But what about the brothers and sisters of color, or anyone for that matter, who doesn't fit neatly into the stereotypical UU demographic, who are also seeking a liberal religious experience? How do we make them feel comfortable and welcome in our congregation? Where do they fit in the culture of Unitarian Universalism? Last November, I attended a UU-sponsored multicultural Mosaic Maker Conference, and Wayne was with me there. And our keynote speaker, Dr. Miguel de la Torres, in his address asked the attendees to reflect on the following statement. Every convert to UUism must answer this question. Do I have to leave behind my culture to become a member? So I ask you, my friends, do you expect folks who join our congregation to fully embrace the culture of the privilege and leave their cultures at the door? Unfortunately for some, the answer is yes. And in the many years since I've become a UU, I've heard many different reasons, explanations, and misconceptions for why not more people of color join our faith. As a matter of fact, the Committee of Racial and Ethnic Unity in the Richmond Church produced a brochure a few years ago that address some of these misconceptions. Now, perhaps you might have heard some of these comments during coffee hours. People of color come from cultural and religious tradition that value emotional, spiritual, mystical, and magical experiences, and they can't relate to UU services that are often intellectual and seldom show outward expression of its emotions. All Latinos prefer Catholic churches. All Arab Americans prefer mosque. Asian Americans prefer to meditate. And African Americans prefer black churches, which they really mean Baptist or Pentecostal church, so they wouldn't choose us. Well, hello. I think I fit some of those categories. Let me see, Baptist, black, and I chose to be a UU. And some of the more humanist things I've heard since becoming a UU were some of these comments. Now, check this out. Black people like to dress up for church, and the women like to wear hats. And they wouldn't feel comfortable being at a UU church. Well, in the few years since I've been in the UU churches, I've seen a few white UU women who look damn good in those church hats. And here's another one. Black people like gospel music. They just want to shout and clap during worship. Well, guilty. I do like to get my praise on occasion, but not all black people like gospel music or like to clap during worship. And a few weeks ago, I saw some of you all clapping and praising when New Beginnings were here. Now, I don't want to make light or trivialize these misconceptions, and I do that recognize there are some legitimate reasons that may explain why people of color may not feel comfortable in this environment or may not want to join our faith community. For example, people of color professionals who are attracted to our liberal theology often work in mostly a white world. So likely they look for a church that is culturally comfortable and that uses the metaphor or images or languages and music and where they can get back to their community. And while I can respect the reasoning for not wanting to become a part of this faith community, we can't simply use this as an excuse not to actively reach out to those folks who want to make Unitarian Universalists their religious home. And if we really want this to be a place where all people feel welcome, we have to have the courage to step out of the safe confines of 3051 Ironbound Road and go out into the community to spread the good news of Unitarian Universalism. Now, I know we UUs don't like to evangelize, but we need to spread the good news anyway because we've done some great things. We need to speak boldly about our support for reproductive rights and stand up and shout for our support for marriage equality. We need to brag about our commitment to social justice and our work for voters, immigration, and civil rights. We need to speak boldly about our affirmation of the inherent worth and dignity of every person, including gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender brothers and sisters. There are many people in our community that are hungry for the type of theology and spiritual freedom without creed and dogma that we offer, who will be willing to work by our side for justice and equality. But it just won't happen by wishing and hoping. And my friends, we won't become diverse by default. We need to make effort to reach out to our neighbors, and when they come into our doors, we need to treat them like welcome guests, not as novelties, spectacles, or anomalies, but just as you'd like to be treated if you're in their shoes. So what are some of the solutions? What can we do to make this a more welcoming place for people of color? Well, as you know, the UUA have plenty of workshop, curriculum programs, and resources can help us along the journey of becoming a more multicultural church. We can incorporate music, reading from different cultures in our worship service, not just on special occasion, but make it something we do every Sunday. And we need to have frank, candid, honest, and yes, painful conversation about racial and cultural issues that affect our society and our congregation, and not wait and win as an incident in Ferguson, Missouri, or a Trayvon Martin incident that we see in our media. And we can embrace a multicultural vision by hiring a staff that is represented by the society, as well as selecting our board members and other leaders in our congregation. But we can't be okay with the fact that we have a few people of color in our staff or in leadership, or a handful of people on our church rolls and think that we are a diverse congregation. Now, I'm not saying that our denomination hadn't made great strides or some progress, but, you know, we still have a lot more work to do. And in order to sustain this work, not just for a season, but for years to come, support just can't come from leadership and allies alone. We need a commitment from every member in all of our UU congregations to make this work. For things to happen, we as a religious community have to be committed to the shared vision of a multicultural faith, and we have to be intentional in everything that we do. But of course, there aren't any simple answers, and if it were that easy, 50 years after Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech, and 20 years after the UU General Assembly resolution on racial and cultural diversity, this faith would not still be 80 to 90% white, and the houses of worship throughout the country would not still be segregated every Sunday between the hours of 9 and 11. So as we embark on this journey towards a multicultural faith, we must be honest with ourselves and admit that not everyone is willing or ready to go along on this journey. And you know, that's okay, because my friends, on this journey, there will be multiple challenges and there will be risk involved. For some in our congregation, multiculturalism threatens a sense of safety. For some, multiculturalism may represent a loss of identity. For many of our UUs, multiculturalism represents a form of danger. Now, not that we are afraid of people who don't look like UUs, but this danger points to a deeper fear, a fear of change, a fear of what change represents, a loss of control, a loss of intellectual control. Our move toward becoming a multicultural faith challenges our safe and tidy way of being a religion. But while there may be challenges and risk along this journey, I believe that we as a faith are up for the challenge, and many of us are ideas suited to respond to new cultural contents of our inherent theological pluralities. And this is a product of the commitment to a free, ferocious inquiry and openness to the insight from many sources, including other religious traditions. And while sometimes we lose our patience with each other and occasionally bite our tongues, on the whole, many UUs have learned to love comfortably with and even celebrate with our internal diversity. Reverend Rosemary Braitman-Knack tells us in a reading from Been in the Storm Too Long that multiculturalism, becoming a diverse and inclusive faith community, is hard work. She goes on to say, why are we still talking about inclusivity and diversity when we have done so little to make them real? Why are we still looking pain about the lack of diversity in the faith? Because diversity, including inclusivity, is terribly hard, terribly uncomfortable, definitely unsettling, and quite frustrating. Well, my friends, I often ask the same question. Why in 2014 are we still talking about this? Now, I know this work is hard. This work is hard. A multicultural, multiracial church will make some folks uncomfortable. The work can be unsettling, and believe me, it's quite frustrating. But nothing we can do as a faith is more important than making the dream of a multicultural, multiracial, all-inclusive community come true. The struggle will always be there. It gets discouraging at times. It gets hard. It can be disenchanting. But I won't give up my dreams. I won't turn back on my quest. And we can't stop now. We can't have a few members doing the heavy lifting that this work required. We need each and every person who is a member of this beloved community to help with the heavy lifting. Not just members from our anti-racism groups, not just from our allies, but all of us who are members of this faith community. And this community should be a community for everyone who crosses the thresholds of our doors, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of their net worth, regardless of their political affiliation, regardless of their sexual orientation, regardless of their educational level, should feel welcome every time they walk through these doors, because this is a faith that respects the dignity and work for all of God's children. So, my friends, my dream is one day that our beloved faith would truly become a multicultural faith that reflects the composition of the world in which we live in. Now, it may not happen next week. My dream may not be fulfilled next month. It may not be fulfilled next year. And it may not even be fulfilled in my lifetime. But deep, deep, deep in my heart, I do believe that Unitarian Universalists, my chosen faith, will one day become the beloved community that Dr. King spoke of, an all-inclusive multicultural faith community where all God's children feel welcome. And I'm glad today that I still have the desire to bring the dreams of my heart into reality on this day, on tomorrow, as long as I can breathe. What about you, my friends?
Amen, brother.
What about you? We must not let this be an unfulfilled dream. And the struggle goes on. May this be so. And God bless you.